Well, I have done my homework this week. I have read over the text. I have studied vocables. I've read other sermons, commentary. I have been on my knees. I have prayed the Lord's mercy for this moment. And all was set and until I started driving to work to church this morning, and I was just rolling down the hill, and I saw some movement, you know, off to the right of the road, and turning and look, and I see here's this little puppy dog. And so I'm in this thing of, you know, kind of determining, you know, is this dog used to kind of running the street, you know, kind of thing, and looking at him in his proximity to my car on the road, I thought, nah, I don't think so. And so I thought, I better stop. And so I did and got out, and you know, he's there, tail wagging and everything, and that kind of like, I just don't know what to do with this moment, you know, kind of thing. And so I picked him up and found a phone number on his collar and called, and nobody answered. So I said, well, I guess this little guy's going to church this morning. So if I stumble or I miss something this morning, it's because the puppy stole the sermon. At any rate, we came in, and I brought him in with a towel and what have you, and you know, he's got this little kind of shimmering, you know, kind of anxious kind of feeling. And I set him down, and you know, up to that point, he had been sitting on my lap, you know, looking out the window, sniffing and everything. But as soon as I came in, Pat was here, and boom, you know, over he is onto Pat's lap. And it wasn't long after that Rick came by, and boom, there he is on Rick's lap. And not too long after that, the owner, you know, from the neighborhood showed up to retrieve her friend Annie. And so off they go. And Rick made the comment, you know, about fidelity and friendship, and just kind of like, well, there it goes, you know, because as soon as the dog saw the owner, it was off of Rick's lap and just running over there. Boy, am I glad to see you, a kind of moment, which speaks to the text this day. The whole moment of being a friend of God versus a friend of the world. And it's this tension that we find ourselves in a way that we may get lost at times in life. Kind of unsure of ourselves in a way of who's calling the shots, you know, directions, the place of our heart, our spirit, our whole worldview even, our perspective on life can be changed by situations and moments in which we find ourselves. But the moment we see your Savior, I know exactly what you do, right? Off the lap and into the arms of your Lord. The dog, Annie, illustrates the message for us this day. The way at times we may wander in life and be unsure about where we're at or even who is there to rescue us. Bouncing from one lap to the other, is there comfort? Is there consolation here? Is there security here? But the beauty of the truth and the moment comes. The Master arrives, and there is certainty, there is clarity, there is peace, and there, dear friends, is singleness of mind. Singleness of mind. That is the state of pure bliss. You see, for us, in the duplicity of mind, the weighing of this and that, and the whole business today of, you know, being proud of our multitasking kind of thing, a falsehood. In the midst of all of that, what we are truly longing for is singleness of mind, a focus, a rest, a concentration, God, the relationship, the bond, scripture, prayer, my walk with him, trusting moment by moment, there is the singleness that we are longing for. What interrupts that in life? What brings the duplicity? Sometimes we might point outside, I could say, the dog stole my sermon. Maybe the dog gave me the sermon. I'm not quite sure today. At any rate, we might look outside and say, here and there, look how I'm distracted. The issues of the world or politics and what have you, or relationships, concern here and there, how things are going at work, your health perhaps. Maybe you lay in the bed and the tape just keeps running. And you lay there thinking, where's the off button? At least a pause. Just be quiet. Leave me alone. Let me rest. And on it runs. This situation, that, these words, those words, what if, what not, on and on. Singleness of mind is God's design for us. God's desire for us. And I have to say, in light of the readings, the substance, the content of the liturgy that we've already spoken and sung together, the answer is God's grace for us in Christ. There is the singleness of God's mind for us. When we think about submitting to God, we might have this sense of, I'm not quite sure about that. I'm not quite sure that all the things that Scripture say are really going to be good for me. Or maybe I'm not sure that everything that I find in the Bible is what I want to identify myself with. Some of those things, they're in conflict with the world. If I identify here, I cannot be a friend there. But here's where I live. Here's where I work. How do I be the same between both places, both groups? And Jesus' scripture is most abundantly clear on this. You cannot serve both. It can't be done. One or the other. That's the deal. One or the other. We read in the book of Joshua, a moment for the people all gathered together, kind of stepping forward into their life together in community and occupying the land. The moment is, choose this day whom you will serve. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And there was singleness of mind. So we wrestle with our identity. We wrestle with our affiliation. Amazingly, in the account where we're brought to this moment of full submission to God, an acknowledgement of the tension, and the text tells us, but he gives us more grace. More grace. See, as we look at that list of the ugly things, you know, the desire and the want and the envy and all that list of you know, every bad thing ensues, you know, when those things are prevailing in a heart and a mind. all of that there, the contrast of God and his singleness of mind to and for us. See, I knew that puppy did it to me. Coming into the presence of God, we know and we acknowledge our profound need for him. No matter how much you have in the bank, no matter how well you may be feeling about how life is going for you, no matter how secure and strong you think your friends are, your connection with the community. God remains that single focus, that necessary focus for our lives. For so many, you see how life is going along, and it seems suddenly there's a snap of fingers or something, and everything so quickly changes. And what you thought, what you had depended upon, what you had rested upon, is no more. And suddenly, the new moment. Who am I now? And we pray that in those moments, we turn to God. I can say this in part because in the back is one of our members who has been journeying with his daughter and her roommate, a young adult wrestling with cancer. Journeying down the road, the good news, the bad news, the inevitable news. Life can come at us with a surprise. And in those moments, kind of peel back the layers of our heart to say, where do you really rest? Where is your true confidence? What are you really committed to? And the invitation from Jesus is, here is grace. Here is the good that you do not deserve. Here is rescue for you. Here is salvation for you. And it's this goodness, this grace, this rescue of God that allows us to submit, to step back from our plans and our insistence, to step back from thinking, you know, my taste, the values that I have, these must prevail. We have this kind of expectation as we come to worship. It's something that I kind of get a whiff of as we have a visitor coming in from Michigan and can speak of the tension in that faraway place. What is worship really all about? Not a place where we come in to say, here is where I want my interests done. Here is where I want my style, or here is where I want my song. Historically, God prescribed for the people, here's how to worship me. That's the deal. This is the way to do it. Clear, black and white. And suddenly, all of that seems to have changed in a way that the individual is raised up and God is diminished. I mean, it's anathema. It's unthinkable. It's inconsistent. The bringing of self. The self comes in submission to God. And the focus is vertical. And the heart looks at the words, the heart looks at the text and says, how can I be in this? How can I give, you know, my soul to this and be raised and lifted? See, we don't lift ourselves up. We don't. We can barely lift each other up, can't we? But the promise of the text is, God will lift you up. Submit yourselves, humble yourselves to the Lord, and He will lift you up. It puts us right in the moment with the disciples and Jesus. Here He is telling them about His impending suffering, the cross, and all that it means for His life. And the disciples are arguing about who's the greatest. I mean, it's night and day. night and day. I'm just trying to say, let it be day for us, dear friends. Let Jesus, the true good man, the Son of God, let him be the focus. And our lives then, in at least second place, if not third, looking to one another and say, no, Jesus is first, you are second, and I'm third. As we come together, the focus is Jesus. Jesus, his kingdom, his glory, and then our lives living for him, humbly setting self aside, looking to the other, looking to Jesus, to Christ. Singleness of mind. Can you imagine that for all of us as a family? You know, true singleness of mind as a family, as the people of God. Do you think, does Scripture have the power to accomplish that? To break the pride of our souls and our individuality? Can Scripture accomplish that? The answer is yes. Yes, indeed. And the sadness can be sometimes what it takes to bring us to our knees to set aside me and to find Christ and to acknowledge him in the midst of us. You, yuns, y'all together. Jesus comes as the Son of God and the Son of Man to embrace humanity and to bring us to himself with a single heart and a single mind. It's all about Jesus, dear friends. It's not about ourselves. Let us receive him and his grace and then be brought to our knees, submitting to him in all things and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.